Hey, Rose friends. Welcome to Rose Chat 2020. I like the sound of that. Now, over the holidays, both Chris and I had great adventures across the pond. Chris in Amsterdam and Budapest and some amazing places in that part of the world. Well, and me, I was in London and the surrounding areas hanging out with some adorable little grand boys. But we're back, we're energized, and we're ready to take on the Rose world once again. Now, if you're new to Rose Chat, Chris and I live and grow in two very different parts of the country. I'm in Indiana Zone 5, where it gets cold. And Chris lives in Birmingham, Alabama, where it gets hot. Okay, Chris, just how hot did it get last year?
Oh, my goodness, Teresa. Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, Happy New Year.
It gets like Alabama hot in Alabama. Like it gets in the 90s and the humidity matches the temperature and you just can't breathe. But we grow some awesome roses down here, I'll tell you that. You know, Teresa, I can't believe this is our seventh season of Rose Chat. Can you believe that?
No, I certainly cannot. So how did this thing get started anyway? Do you remember?
Well, you know, sort of. You Garden Chat that happens on Twitter and is still going on today. Someone was tweeting me from there last Monday night. Teresa and I actually met on Twitter, and our mutual love of roses brought us together, and we started what became wildly popular on Twitter, which was Rose Chat. Had over a million followers of that hashtag in the year or so that we did a regular Rose Chat on Twitter. And this podcast just sort of spun out of that, more and more demand for good information about growing roses. So we just sort of took all those awesome guests we had on Rose Chat on Twitter and put them on the air. So here we are in our seventh season. I can't wait to get started.
Me either. Now, do you remember who our first guest, our real guest was on Rose Chat on Twitter?
Wasn't it Annie Haven with Haven Brand Soil Conditioners?
She was. And the one I was thinking about, Annie did join us first. You're absolutely right. The one I was remembering because it cost me money was Paul Zimmerman. He came on and he talked about this beautiful rose, Flamingo Rosita. He talked about Delbard roses, as I recall. It was the first time I'd heard of those. I bought Flamingo, and now I have Delbards too. So I remember that because it cost me money.
Yeah. Well, can I just confess something, Teresa? Every time we do a new show, it costs me money. I go out and buy the roses, or I buy the product, or do something.
Yep, me too, me too.
So, you know, we've got a great lineup this season. I cannot wait. You know, coming up really soon, really coming up on this episode is a conversation that you had with Michael Marriott from David Austin Roses about all the really cool introductions for this year.
Oh, and there's some beauties. And we have Paul Zimmerman coming back. He's got lots of things to tell us. We've got a perennial favorite in the rose world, Stephen Skin Yellow. He's coming to talk to us about some things that aren't as happy, but that we're all dealing with.
Oh, he's always fun, though. Yeah.
He's fun. If anyone can make Rose Rosette fun, he and Mark Windham can. But anyway, he's got some tips for us there. And then coming up real soon, we're going to hear from Natalie Carmoli of Proven Winners.
Oh, wow. And then, you know, there's our good friend, Connie Hilker. It's going to take us to the cemetery and walk us through a cemetery garden. She's a curator of the Hollywood Cemetery. And, I'm excited about that. I love history and architecture, and I love poking around those cemeteries too. And, you know, she might even give us some tips on getting a rose cutting or two. So we'll see.
Oh, I bet she will. And we have Matt Douglas coming up. He's going to teach us all about damask roses, and I'm very interested in those since I spent a little time in Turkey last year and sort of the motherland for those roses, and so there's a lot of history there.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you know, we can't have a rose chat and not talk about some kind of critter, so, you know, I think we're going to talk later on this year about managing Japanese beetles, which is always on rose growers' minds, and that pesky two-spotted spider mite.
We're you hoping to get that one covered.
Yeah, we have spider mites here, but we don't usually have them as bad, but I know they can be really bad in certain parts of the country. So we're definitely going to get some information on that. I met Ping Lim this year, Rose Breeder Ping Lim, at the AGRS meeting. And he's got some super cool roses that are currently in commerce and then some that are coming down the pike. I can't wait to have him on to talk to us about them.
Oh, I know. He is so interesting and so fun. And he does make it fun, but he's worked very hard to bring us roses that are disease resistant and beautiful and fragrant. So really appreciate him. I'm going to be with him this summer. And so we'll get our podcast together for him so we can share that with our audience. And so many beautiful roses. I think I've had a chance to see a few and maybe even test a couple of the new True Bloom roses. And I can tell you, they are special.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear more about those. Now, we're also going to have Dr. David Zlizak with us at some point this coming year to talk to us about the National Clean Plant Network and why that's important in the world of roses. And I know our listeners will want to lean in and hear all the good information he has, because the work that they do on the front end directly affects what they buy in home centers around the country. So it's a very important topic that I know everybody's going to want to hear about. So, Teresa, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to cue up this interview with Michael Marriott, and let's get started. The Rose Chat podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Michael, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Thanks very much. Lovely to be back with you again.
Hey, Michael, what's the weather like over there in the UK? Here, it's 20 going down to 10, which I think is about minus 6 for you.
Oh, no, it's not cold, but it's just so wet. It's just been raining all the time. And I can actually see blue sky out of the window now, but it's been raining hard all morning. So it's grim over here at the moment.
Well, now, when will you start pruning roses? Will you get more winter, or is your winter about over?
It's so difficult to tell. Sometimes we've hardly had a winter yet. We've hardly had a frost. Actually, they are forecasting just a light frost, sort of 2 or 3 degrees below in the next 2 or 3 nights. But so far this winter, we've had nothing really. But it quite often doesn't start until now. And so, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, it was like this, and then it suddenly turned cold in January or February. I can't quite remember. And then it was a beastly winter. Then we had this really horrible cold easterly wind that blew for weeks on end. It was horrible. But we just don't know. But certainly, no, winter's not over yet. And we started pruning. That's the first thing we do when we come back after the New Year break or Christmas break. Is they get straight into the garden and start pruning. I think most of it is done now, actually.
Wow. Here, we haven't had much winter either, but we are getting ready to have some. We're getting ready to have ice and cold and all of that. But it's been a very mild winter here, so I don't know what March is going to bring. It could bring full-on winter, or we could have an early spring. So it's always an adventure, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we have some beautiful roses to talk about today, but first, I want to talk about this amazing catalog. It's so much more than a catalog that I just received. The catalog just gets better and better.
Ah, thanks very much. Yeah, there's a lot of information packed in there, isn't there? And a lot of beautiful photographs as well. So, it's as you say, it's more than just a catalog. There's stacks of stuff in there. If you live in specific climates, then there's a suggestion for best varieties or for climbers and all sorts of bits and pieces. And, of course, a bit of a history on the nursery as well, all about David Austin roses. So it's a good read. It'll keep you busy for some time.
Well, it will. You know, and sometimes catalogs are beautiful, but this one is so helpful. This Rose Care Calendar by region. I mean, anyone can take this and run with it in their region. So friends, if you don't have this catalog, hop on their website and order it. It is absolutely beautiful. It's a work of art, actually, but it's so helpful. You can grow roses using this catalog for sure.
Yes, it's a real challenge, of course. It's fairly easy over here to do the catalog in terms of care and things like that because we basically have one sort of climate, really. You know, Scotland's a bit colder than the south of England, but not too much difference. But of course, over your way, you just have such a wide range of different types. It causes real headaches from my point of view.
Well, I read through it. I thought it was spot on for my area.
Good.
Very, very good. Very good. And it's just so pretty and the illustrations are so great. So people will love it and it'll be very helpful. Okay, now we're going to talk about roses. And I want to start out with the one that's the most different.
It was the Tottering by Gentry.
Yes.
Yes, it's a lovely rose, isn't it? It's always a basic ethos of David Austin that a rose, it doesn't... The Austin roses are often thought of as being very double and, you know, lots and lots of petals and sort of rosette-shaped flowers. But, of course, he always thought that actually a rose can be beautiful in any form, whether it's got 5 petals or 200 petals. And so he was always very, very keen on introducing varieties that had the whole range of different petal counts. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So this one, yeah, Tottering by Gently, has only got 5 petals. But it flowers very, very freely, lovely yellow color, not too harsh a yellow, lovely sort of softish yellow, and very healthy, of course, which is also something that they're very, very keen on. And then, if you don't deadhead it, a fantastic crop of hips that last, right through the winter. They do in this country anyway. So what they'll do in really cold climates, I'm not quite sure, but, fantastic crop of hips as well, and fragrant as well, which is unusual in the single roses.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fragrance is listed as musk with a note of orange peel. And I absolutely love orange peel. So I am so excited about this. I mean, I think, you know, the bees are going to get in there and love this one. So the beneficial insects are going to have more access to this rose. And with a fragrance and rose hips, it's going to be a winner for sure.
Yeah. And we very much encourage people to mix up roses with other plants. And so this rose being sort of fairly informal just will mix perfectly with perennials and annuals and biennials and things like that. And in the wilder areas of the garden. And as you say, it's going to be very attractive to beneficial insects and bees. And it's just so important these days to encourage as many of those as possible in your garden. So yeah, I love that rose. I think it's going to be very successful. So jolly good for it.
I think it was on Facebook. Someone posted a picture who was growing this rose, and in their garden, and it was absolutely stunning. So it was just beautiful to see it working with other plants too. So
yeah, well, the yellow, of course, always goes very, very, very well with any blue flowers, any flowers that are blue. You know, the geraniums, delphiniums, campanulas, things like that. And so it's a perfect one for associating with other plants.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, let's talk about Mill on the Floss.
Yes, that's another unusual rose. I mean, the three of them actually are. It shows the sort of the wide range that you find in the Austin roses, because this has a more of a cup shaped flower, quite a few petals. I think probably about 100 petals or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's unusual. It's the only Austin rose that has this sort of picoteer edge to the petals, and so the most of the petals are sort of a mid pink, but then the edges of the petals are several shades darker. And you find it in one or two of the old roses, the old hybrid perpetuals and bourbons and things like that. But you very, very rarely find it in more modern roses. And it's the only Austin rose that has that. And this again has a wonderful fragrance, sort of sweet, fruity fragrance. I think it's going to be slightly limited. I don't think it'll like the hotter climates too much, this variety, We've tried it in one or two places in the States in the last year or two, and it seemed to get rather tall in the hotter climate. So it'd be better suited to the cooler ones. But you can never quite tell. So I'll be very interested to get feedback from gardeners who grow it and see what they think of it and see how it behaves in their own garden.
Well, I will definitely let you know how things go in my garden, because, you know, we do get hot in the summer, but we are not the South. We are definitely Midwest. So we do have a little bit different growing. So
yeah.
I look forward to that one. Now, our last one is Emily Bronte. And by the name alone, people are going to gravitate to this rose, but it's absolutely gorgeous, too.
Yes, I suppose if you have a picture in your mind of a classic Austin rose, then this sort of fits the bill quite well, really. Lots and lots of petals, flat sort of rosette-shaped flower. Slightly unusual in that it's got sort of a rather mix of colours, and so it's pink shading through to soft apricot, so soft pinks shading through to a soft apricot. A beautiful fragrance, and actually it's the only rose, the only Austin rose that I know, and probably the only rose that I know that actually has three different types of fragrance in it. So it starts off when it's a young flower as a tea fragrance. As the flower ages a bit, it'll become old rose fragrance, and as it ages even more, it becomes more sort of fruity, citrusy type fragrance. And it's always important to smell roses as much as possible, of course. Because it's so good for you, but this one is even more important to try and see if you can grab those three different fragrance types and appreciate them as much as possible.
There's absolutely no one in the world that does a better description of rose fragrance than Michael Marriott. Let's just call it on that. And it's always true. And anytime there's old rose involved, I'm going to be just over the moon, because I'm just never, ever tire of that. I can just, as you describe it, I can just smell it. I'm just like, oh, even though I look out my window and it's bleak and it's dark, yeah. I can just conjure up this fragrance.
Yeah. I mean, there is nothing like the old rose fragrance. It's just so refreshing. It's so good for you. You know, it's the perfect sort of drug, if you like it, because it cheers you up, but at the same time, you know, it calms you down as well. So it raises your spirits and calms you down. It is the best. But then, you know, all the fragrances have their own characters. You know, I love the tea fragrance because I'm a bit of a passionate tea drinker, but I think tea fragrance is delicious. And you've got the musky fragrance, which is, you know, wafts in the air so easily, and that's just a wonderful fragrance. The myrrh fragrance, which smells like aniseed, again, I love that. Mm-hmm. And then this huge range, just about every single fruit that you can think of, you can find that in the rose world as well. So it's endlessly fascinating. And of course, it doesn't stay the same. So, you know, on 1 week you might smell a certain fragrance in one variety, and the next week you might smell something quite different. And even from season to season, it changes. So it's, never stop smelling roses. Never think that you know what it's going to smell like, and don't bother to smell it, because it's good for you, and it's always wonderful. You never know what's going to be there. My tip for that is to make sure to plant the most fragrant roses really close to the path. No good them being tucked away at the back of the border somewhere. Plant them really close to the path, so that every time you pass, you can give them a good snort.
Well, we have some beautiful roses that aren't fragrant, but we have to pepper them with fragrance, or our visitors are disappointed for sure, as are we when we walk our gardens, because, you know, in our mind, roses are fragrant. And so there are many roses that I have that are gorgeous and get lots of attention. But you do miss the fragrance, and so it's so wonderful when you can have so many beautiful ones that are fragrant, and you can kind of work them all together.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely crucial.
Well, I think that this one is actually swoon-worthy. Emily Bronte is just going to be a big hit. And I love the multicolored petal that you mentioned. That is just so rich to me.
Yes, it's and again, that's going to change from sort of season to season and from year to year and according to the weather as well. So you'll never quite get two flowers again be exactly the same color. So yeah, it'll be lovely to take into the house and make an arrangement from it, because this roses like that can smell a whole. And sent out a whole room, so it's well worth getting a few extra plants just to for cutting. I think it should last really quite well in the house.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere, maybe it was in the new catalog or online, I'm not sure, but that there's 117 David Austin roses that are recommended for North America. So there's truly something for everyone.
Yeah, and so as I said earlier on, he was very, very keen on as much variety as possible. A rose can be beautiful in all sorts of different forms, and it's not just the petal count, it's the form of the bush. So some are tall and upright, and some are much more bushy, some are much more spreading, some are wonderful climbers, and some are ramblers as well. So there's all sorts of different shapes and sizes of Austin roses.
Mm-hmm. And I love the whole, I don't know the naming process of how you go into that, but so many of the roses have names that take us someplace. And I love that, you just by the virtual name, there's a story. So, so many of our plants and our roses are about the stories, and our gardening experiences about the stories. But these wonderful roses that start out with their name being a story is just fabulous.
Yes. When David told me that he was going to name a rose Tottering By Gently, I thought, what? What on earth are you talking about? what a weird name to name a rose. What a rose to give a rose. And it wasn't until he explained it that I realized where it came from. There's a very sort of upmarket magazine in this country called the Country Life magazine, and it's a weekly magazine, and every single week for 25 years there's been a cartoon in the back of it called by a person called Annie Tempest, and so it's a very humorous cartoon about life in the country, your big house and dogs and things like that, and the trials and tribulations of living in the country, so very, very, very humorous. And the name of the cartoon is Tottering By Gently.
Perfect. I see everyone now, you know the story too. So it just makes Going the Rose even more fun.
Yeah. And this year we've just announced the names for the two new varieties we're introducing this year in the UK. Unfortunately, it'll be a couple of years before they're out in the States. But so this year in the UK, we've got Silas Marner and the Country Parson, and so were two great literary classics, or mm-hmm. characters from literary classics. So,
So we'll look forward to seeing those.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, before I let you go, I just want to say kudos to the David and Austin social media team. The Instagram feed is fabulous. It's beautiful. It's helpful. It's inspiring. And for those of us in these bleak places, we're seeing, activity and what's going on and a little bit of the why, a little bit of the how. I have enjoyed that so much.
Oh, good. I'll certainly pass that on. It's great to see those pictures. I think Instagram especially is a very useful platform for sharing pictures and sharing enthusiasms, and it just connects everybody from all around the world, doesn't it? So I think Instagram especially is wonderful.
Yes, it is. And you wake up in the morning and you get to see these beautiful pictures from your friends. It just keeps us connected.
Yeah.
We don't travel as much in the winter. Well, we did some travel in the UK, obviously, over Christmas. It was wonderful to be with our little grand boys and family. But, people feel a little more pinned in the winter in most of the regions. And so it's just so lovely to be able to, reminisce with people over what they grew in the summer and what's going on now. So it is a great platform. I'm very grateful for
that. Yeah, yes, no, it is very good. And of course, the people in hotter climates now, I got a message from somebody in China this morning, southern China, saying that their roses are just starting to bloom.
Yay! Show us! We want to see!
Then it'll be really hot later on in the summer, so I don't envy them that.
No. So we have the best of both worlds. We get cold and we get hot. Right. So I do like the change of seasons that aren't as extreme. So I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely. Yes, it'd be very dull without a change of seasons.
Yes. Well, Michael, as always, it's so lovely to get to chat with you. And thank you for sharing these beautiful roses with us. And Rose Friends, do get the catalog if you don't already have it by going to their website and requesting one. And Michael, I just hope you have a wonderful spring. Come back and talk to us again.
I'd love to, yes. And I hope your cold weather isn't too prolonged and too extreme. So look forward to talking to you soon.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.